is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Welcome back to the Great Shalom Broadcast. And we have been talking about what God wants for you and for your children. It's great good news. God wants healing and health, wisdom, prosperity. And we're going to talk again about God wanting academic success for your children. Last time we talked about some myths that are out there that are simply lies of the enemy. And we exploded them. Because God wants your child to be successful in life. If they're in school, then they need to be successful in school. Hallelujah. It's not that everyone has to be a scholar. We all have different callings. But we can be reasonably successful, surely. We bring the light and life and love to the world, and we can be competent and be a witness wherever we are. Now, today I want to continue with that theme that God wants academic success for us and for our children. And I want to bring some balance from the Word of God to what I believe was a misunderstanding. And while not many people see it this way, I think that there is still somewhat of a lingering feeling in some people that makes it so that they are not eager to address academic problems when they arise and may not even pay attention to their children's real need to do well in school because the way the world is at this point, it's very helpful to have those good grades in school. It is really required to pass and pass at least an average level or better. The way our worldly system is set up, our world economy and so forth. And of course, it's not like that's somewhere written in the sky, because it's not. And many people have done well without school. But usually school is part of the deal. And the world requires so many credentials and so forth. It's helpful to be able to learn, yes? And the people of God have always had a literate culture and a numerate culture. And God wants success for us in this. And we can be leaders in this as well as our vocation. Now I want to, we talked about that last time. God wants success and prosperity. And if we live a godly lifestyle, we should expect that in all areas. I want to go to Colossians today. Colossians, the second chapter. And I'm going to read 10 verses here. I have been criticized as reading too much scripture. So I hope you will go along with me. I encourage you to get out your Bible and to read with me. Whether you read the same translation or not, I want you to see this, to lay your eyes on this. And I realize that many people listen with half a brain because they're doing something else. But I am reading Colossians 2. And if you're not going to look at it, put your eyes on it now, then do it later, because this is important. Colossians, of course, you know that's the New Testament after the big books. Corinthians, then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Colossians 2 and 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea, for all those who have not personally seen my face. Now, Paul is writing to the churches where he has established churches or visited. And so he's talking about struggle that he has. I assume that means he's praying for them. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. That's how the New American Standard translates. But there's already so much here, so I'm going to interrupt the reading and talk a little bit about this, that their hearts may be encouraged. This was what Paul wanted for his babies in Christ, if you will, that he set up these churches, that their hearts be encouraged. And that's what I am preaching to, the aim I have in what I am doing here. I want your hearts to be encouraged. I want you as parents, you as teachers and educators, you as students, if there are students listening to me, to be encouraged that God wants the best for you. God wants you totally competent, totally full and blessed in this life, so that he can establish his covenant in the earth, right? You are a demonstration, but also a conduit of the blessing, right? So once your heart's encouraged, and I'm preaching to encourage you, okay? This is not about condemnation that, oh, you're somehow bad if you're not making it. That's not at all what I'm saying. So don't listen to the lies of the enemy. What I'm saying is that you can be successful in this arena too, with God's help. Take it by faith. So that your heart being, having been knit together in love, hallelujah. Great. And I have mentioned that actually not long ago, that we're circulating the love. God wants love for you. God wants love for your children. And God wants love for your home. God wants love for your workplace and the whole world. And certainly in this ministry, I want to participate with you in that love cycle. We're sowing love into you and inviting you to participate in that cycle and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. 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 God wants understanding for you. And when you have the full assurance of understanding, all the wealth that comes from that. And some of the, some of that wealth is natural wealth. Hallelujah. That may not be the most important part. And all of thy getting, get wisdom, for it's the principal thing. Because with wisdom, you can get natural stuff, yes? But if you have full assurance of understanding, there is a great deal of wealth, spiritual as well as natural, natural as well as spiritual, glory to God, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. Okay, so notice the knowledge here. It's not as if Christians were somehow to be without knowledge, understanding, wisdom. On the contrary, that is Christ himself. Resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. That is the Messiah and the anointing. Right? That's the root source and fullness of knowledge and understanding. In whom, in the Messiah and the anointing, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Ah, what have I been saying? And it's been said over again now here by Paul. In whom, or by the Holy Spirit through Paul, yes. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge have treasures in them. Treasures. And those are for us. They're for us. Jesus came for us. And we have the anointing by the Holy Ghost. You know, that's enough to start dancing right there if you think about it. Right? We were given the Holy Ghost. Jesus came, gave us new life. Christ lives in us. And so we're supposed to have in him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Woo! Okay. And, of course, we were told spirits to lead us into all truth, not just religious truth. And there's a great deal of wealth that comes from this understanding, this full assurance. When we know that we know that we know. Hallelujah. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. Okay, so I'm telling you that God wants academic success for your children. And some of you have been persuaded that school is not an area where we as Christians should excel. Others of you have been persuaded that your child has some problem, some deficiency, some sickness, some condition, right? And I hope that we have been clear about we believe in healing. Healing, right? Whether miracles, whether healing, whether innovative education,
whatever the avenue of that healing, we believe in healing. But also, if it's simply an attitude or an intention or a fear, I want to allay that. God wants success, prosperity, as we saw last time in Joshua 1 and 7, 8, and 9. God wants academic success for our children, right? We should not be lagging behind in school. We should not be the foot that's dragging. The body of Christ does not have dragging feet, right? It is all glorious. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. Now, this, of course, was about doctrine. And there were other arguments. Let's read. For even though I am absent in the body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and stability of your faith in Christ. Hallelujah. And I agree with this. Our faith should be stable, and we should be disciplined about our faith. And that's what it's talking about here. Don't be blown about with every wind of doctrine. So every new idea that comes along, you're off. No, your faith is this, and it's this in all situations. Your faith is that God loves you, and God wants to bless you. And that's true in church, that's true out of church, that's true in the workplace, that's true in the home, and that's true in school. Or in the learning environment that you have, because we're not all in school. But particularly, then the rub comes, except if it's secular school. For whatever reason, some children are in secular school. So does God's word not apply there? On the contrary, we're going to be disciplined about using our faith, and we're going to be stable in our faith. That means applying God's word in all locations. So God wants you successful and prosperous wherever you go, whithersoever thou goest. Anyway, so if you go to this part of the promised land or to that part of the promised land, go, if you're going according to God's word, you go with success. So don't let anyone delude you with persuasive argument saying, no, we've got to be scared of the dangers there. Well, there are some dangers there. Let's be honest about this. And we want to be prudent, but it's not like we have to hide and shiver in our little corners. That's not the issue. Okay? And it also is not the issue that we cannot know then. Therefore, because there are lies out there, we can't know the truth. On the contrary, we know the truth. The truth is in Jesus. And so we can have knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And we bring that to a school. Of course, we're in school to learn something. So there may be lies mixed in. No, we don't need to be afraid of Satan. Satan needs to be afraid of us. Because why? Because we are in the army of the Lord, disciplined in faith. Okay? Now, I use terms you don't understand, and let me know. Okay, I'm not talking about Natural Revolution Army. I'm talking about the army of love, faith in God, okay? Making allusion to Ephesians 6. So we put on the full armor of God. And so we are knit together in love. We're strong in faith. Hallelujah. So verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Well, how do we receive him? By faith. So therefore, how are we going to walk? By faith. We're going to apply that in all areas of life. We discovered that God wanted to bless us and took away our sins when we repented. Well, similarly, God wants to bless us in all walks of life, having been firmly rooted and now built up in him. You see, now Paul is repeating himself. and established in your faith just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Well, isn't that how we got saved? We received salvation by faith and thanked God for it. And so he's saying, you should live this way. And you should live this way when it comes to learning. If you're going to school, expect God to help you triumph in school. So use faith and use gratitude. Not fear, not insecurity, but faith and gratitude. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men and according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ or the Messiah, his anointing. Okay? So what was happening here? Now, Paul is writing about doctrine and about the church, and there were other teachers who would come along behind Paul and either say, well, no, you know, you can't really believe in grace and faith all that much. You've got to return to the Jewish law, or you've got to go to the Jewish law if you're a Gentile, and so you've got to keep all these rules. Or there were other groups who were Gnostics. Those were the Judaizers, and then the Gnostics who said, well, yes, that's all right, but now there is a hierarchy of knowledge, and of course we know more than you do, and you have to go through all these tests, and then you can become the spiritual elite because there's this hidden knowledge. Either way, this is not how you receive Christ, and therefore this is not how you finish in Christ. You receive Christ based on God's will to give you grace and love and the blessing, and therefore how do you receive it? By faith. And then you are grateful and work in good works. That's how you received faith. Well, how do you conduct yourself in faith? The same way. That's what it says over and over here. The same way. By faith, because God wants it. And the same way, I'm saying, if that's true in your spiritual life, it's true in every other part of your life, including school. Believe that God wants to bless you in your education. There we go. Believe God that God wants to bless you in your education. It is God's will. God's empowering grace is coming on you to do well enough in your studies. So what are you supposed to do? Receive it by faith. Be grateful. And therefore, walk in good works, be diligent, and do what you're supposed to do. And you will find that there is supernatural power backing you up, and you will triumph in this, in your educational endeavors. Right? So, see that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. If you do a good job here, you will notice when the lies come up. You will notice the empty deception and the philosophy of man, the love of learning for its own sake, the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, and not according to the Messiah and his anointing. If you have difficulty, there are people who've gone ahead of you on this. Get more scholarship to meet the empty and poor scholarship. Not less. Get more scholarship. Christians should be the leaders. If we're the leaders in spiritual truth, and we should be the leaders in the marketplace, we should also be the leadership in academia and in scholarship. Yeah. What is education going to look like in the millennia? If we're going to live 1,000 years in a utopian earth, right, not in heaven, well, is there not going to be exchange and children learning and, you know, building buildings and planting of fields? If so, then what is that going to look like? All right. Going to look like Jesus. Oh, okay. So see to it that no one takes you captive. And if you are so afraid that you're not even entering into the realms of education endeavor, You choose not to have any knowledge, choose not to have any understanding, and therefore people looks like you don't have a whole lot of wisdom, you're still in captivity. Because that's not the way it's supposed to be. Right? Say, oh, well, I'm just not going to fight the devil today. No, you're supposed to fight him and win. No, excuse me. That was wrong. Jesus already fought him. So you just go out and enforce that victory. All right. Verse 9. For in him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. In the Messiah. Yes? And in his anointing. Woo! And in him you have been made full. And he is the head of rule and authority. Get a load of this. Pay attention to this here. For in him, in Christ, in the Messiah, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him, in the Messiah, in the anointing, you have been made full or complete. And he, Jesus, the Messiah, and his anointing is head of all rule and authority. Okay, so this is what I've been saying. In Christ is all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And therefore, all rule and authority. And if he is has all rule and authority, he's over all the counterfeit and inappropriate rule and authority. We know this. And therefore, you also, in Christ, rooted in Christ, you're complete, and you have all the treasures of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and therefore you should be not a laggard in education, but a leader. Hallelujah. That's a promise. That's part of the promises. I'm telling you, that's part of the promises. Glory to God. Have faith. Meditate in the Word of God. Fill your mouth with it. Be strong and courageous. Then you will have good success. Then you will make your way prosperous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your great, precious promises. Thank you that you have extended those to our children. And now, over all my listeners, I speak healing, health, and wholeness. I speak prosperity. I speak success. I speak great shalom, rav, shalom, benade to all our children. They are taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Glory to God. What an honor and a privilege it is. Thank you. Please write me. I would love to hear from you. I would very much enjoy hearing from you. Write me via email at info@greatshalom.org, or you may use land mail at P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Once again, that's P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And please come to the website at www.greatshalom.org. www.greatlikebigshalom.org. And participate in the blogging. Read the articles. Subscribe to podcasting. See what goodies we have for you. We do have some products there, including a book on how not to lose your faith when you go to college. I was asked to write that. And surprise, you don't lose your faith. You loose your faith and you become a leader in that realm. Also, God wants to redeem all of creation. Hallelujah. And not just on Sunday morning.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory.
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630.
I'd like to announce the release of my new book, Don't Lose Your Faith During College, Rather Lose It. I was particularly asked to write this book, and so this is the pre-publication copy, and you, my listeners, have the first look at it. It will give peace of mind for parents who are sending their children away to college. It gives specific secrets in how to deal with professors who might be intimidating to your faith, and it unlocks a vision for leadership. Don't lose your faith during college. You can get the book by going to my website, www.greatshalom.org, and you can click through and you can get it mailed to you in trade paperback form, or you may receive a discount by downloading it. So just go to www.greatshalom.org and get the brand new pre-publication edition of Don't Lose Your Faith During College, Rather Lose It.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.
The Great Shalom Broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of the Great Shalom Broadcast Ministry. Thanks, y'all.